last 5 weeks, we've been looking at different stories of when Jesus shared a meal with various people. His friends, his enemies, 5,000 people, and his closest family, the disciples. Sharing food with people is a simple act. It fulfills a need, it breaks down barriers, it's communal, and at the end of the day, we all need food. We all eat. This morning's story is a little different because it's not so much about the food or the meal, but possibly more about what happens on the journey towards the food and what is discovered during the meal after the food is shared. Put your hand up if you've ever been disappointed. I mean, presumably, every hand has gone up, and if you're at home and you're putting your hands up and you're participating, your hand is also raised. You can put your hands down. All of us have felt disappointment at one time or another in our lives. Maybe you didn't get chosen for the lead part that you really wanted in the school play. Maybe you didn't get a part at all. Perhaps you were one of those children who never got picked during PE when teams were chosen. Maybe you are one of those children now. Maybe a friend didn't invite you for a birthday sleepover. Or it could be that you didn't get the job you applied for, or your girlfriend or your boyfriend dumped you. Perhaps your holiday got cancelled at the last minute, or your car broke down on the way to something exciting, and that meant you couldn't go. There are lots of things that happen in our lives that can make us feel disappointed, sad, and deflated, and it feels horrible. Now, that's exactly how Cleopas and his friend were feeling in our story. They were really disappointed. They were beyond disappointed. They'd followed Jesus for a long time and had pinned so much hope on him being who he said he was. They'd been in Jerusalem and seen all the terrible things that had happened to him, including seeing him put to death. They'd hoped that Jesus was going to set the Jewish nation free from the Romans and bring about change and peace. And now, Jesus was dead and their hopes were dashed. They'd left Jerusalem behind them, and as they walked towards the village of Emmaus, they discussed their disappointment and disbelief at what had happened. They really couldn't believe how things could have turned out so badly. And as they continued their journey, they were joined by a stranger who walked alongside them, a person who joined them in their sadness, in their disappointment, and in their grief at what had happened. We know the person was Jesus because we know the end of the story. But I imagine there have been times we've found ourselves in a similar situation. Situations where we haven't immediately recognized or noticed that Jesus is walking with us. Certain situations can feel so sad and bad that it's hard to see or think clearly. If I asked you to describe this feeling with a colour, I imagine most of you would say, what would you say, Mine? If you had to describe your disappointment and sadness as a colour, what colour do you think you might say? Purple or blue? Purple or blue? Any other thoughts? Battleship grey. Black. Awesome. Thankfully, someone said black. So, yeah, that feeling, you might describe it as black. So when things are hard, life can feel a bit black, a bit dark, heavy, and difficult to manage. Sometimes we can't put our finger on the emotion we're feeling, And children, this is something that as you grow, you'll understand better. But sometimes sad can come out as cross and worried. But however it presents, it can feel dark or black. Close your eyes just for a moment if you feel happy to. Inside your eyelids, it's dark, isn't it? It's not pitch black because light from the room filters through. But in comparison to open eyes, it's dark. You can open your eyes. This picture of darkness describes a bit how Cleopas and his friend were probably feeling, and a bit of how we can sometimes feel when disappointment shoots us a blow. We can take comfort, though, because when we are disappointed, when our hopes are dashed and we're in a dark place, we aren't alone because Jesus draws close to us. Like Cleopas and his friend, we may not recognize that Jesus is with us at first, but he is there. Jesus continued to walk on the road with the two friends. He talked to them about the scriptures and helped them to understand that what had happened in Jerusalem was part of God's rescue plan for mankind. He was able to bring light and hope back into the dark places that had been clouded by their vision. But they still hadn't clocked who was walking with them. As they came to the end of their journey, the friends invited Jesus to stay with them and share a meal. And this is when they finally realized. As they shared food and drinks together and continued their conversation, Jesus took the bread in the same manner he had at the Last Supper meal he'd shared with his disciples only a few days earlier. He broke it and he gave thanks for it, and it was then that the penny dropped. The man was Jesus. All this time, they'd been chatting on the road with the risen Lord, the man that they'd pinned all their hopes on. The man they thought was dead had risen and had joined them as they walked. He'd listened and walked with them in their disappointment and sadness, and he'd come alongside and lifted their hopes with his light-giving teaching. And finally, he'd revealed himself at dinner, and their eyes had been fully open to see who had been with them all along. So let's be encouraged when we face disappointments and feel that hope is lost. Jesus is walking with us. And when you break bread at home or at church or anywhere, be reminded that Jesus died and came back to life so that he could be with us always. He walks with us and shines his light into the dark places, and he opens our eyes to his everlasting love and goodness. Now, if you feel able, I'd love for you to stand. If you don't, please do stay seated. That's absolutely fine. Okay, so I'm going to read a poem as a response to what we've heard this morning. Many of you will recognize it. It's called Footprints in the Sand. Now, I know you're all not stood particularly close to each other, but if you feel comfortable to do so, and if the person next to you feels also comfortable, I'd really love it if you could put your hand on the person next to you's shoulder. If you're at home or if you're standing on your own, you can put your own hand on your shoulder. This is a symbol, this is just symbolic, that when you might feel alone, there's always someone next to you. So this is just symbolic of that. You don't have to do it, it's just if you feel that you would like to. So you can put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you or on your own shoulder if you are at home watching alone. And I'm going to read the words of the poem. So one night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the way, I've lost my place. He noticed that many times along the way, there had only been one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my child, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you walk with us and that you never, ever leave us. Help us recognize your presence and find light, love, and peace within it. Amen.